Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Jacqueline Soba, and today we will be studying Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. In Perek Bet, we got a glimpse into the times of Mashiach that we long for, world peace and universal acceptance of Hashem and His Torah. In Perek Gimel, Yeshayahu warns that the Jewish people will be left with minimal positive influences, spiritually and politically. Before we read the psukim, it would be helpful to know what eventually occurs historically to better understand the nevuah Yeshayahu is warning them about. When the Babylonians became the world's power, they eventually took Jews into galus in different waves, but the first wave taken into exile was with the elite, with individuals like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. This event was labeled galus Yehoiakim, or the exile of Yehoiakim, since he was the king during that time. 7 years later, the Babylonians returned to the area and again marched into Yerushalayim. Jehoiakim died soon after. His 18-year-old son, Yechaniah, was raised to the throne in his place. He too was eventually exiled together with members of the royal family, other heads of state, the Judean military, and many artisans. This event is known as Galus Yechaniah. Their leaders, religious, military, and political, were exiled, while the majority of Jews were left behind. Ki hine ha'adon Hashem tzvakot, misir miyushalayim umiyehuda, mash'in umash'ina, kol mish'an lachem v'chol mish'an nayim. Behold, Hashem will remove all support from Yerushalayim and Yehuda, all food support and all water support. On a pshat level, Yeshayahu is describing the great famine that occurred during the time of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. On a deeper level, bread and water are the basics for survival. No one can exist without it. Reliable, trustworthy leadership is also essential for national survival. When there is no guidance or leadership, there's anarchy. Psukim Aleph through Gimel, 1 through 3, detail all the heroic figures, be it religious, political, wise, and warriors that will be taken from them. Psukim Dalet through Zion, 4 through 7, detail the collapse of society when there's no proper leadership. V'nasati na'arim sarayhim, v'ta'alulim mimshalu bam. When all the wise and experienced leaders are taken, the Jewish people will be left with young and inexperienced leaders who have no familiarity with leading a nation or insight on how to rule properly. It is no surprise then that Vanigas Ha'am Ish Biish, Viish Bireehu, Yerhavu Hana'ar Bazakin, Vahanikla Banichbad. The people will oppress one another, man against man, and man against his friends. They will act arrogantly, the young against the old, the dishonored against the honored. The Gemara in Chagiga, Yod Dalet Amud Aleph, 14a states, Ravdimi Armar, Shmona Esrei Klalot Kilal Yeshayahu et Yisrael V'lo Niskara Da'ato Ad She'amar Lahem HaMikra Hazeh Yerhavu HaNa'ar Bazakin V'Hanikla Banichbad. Rav Dimi said, Yeshayahu cursed the Jewish people with 18 curses, and his mind did not calm down until he said to them the curse in our Pasuk, the child will behave disrespectfully against the elder, and the dishonorable against the honorable. These 18 curses that Rav Dimi is referring to are found in verses 1 through 4, and all reflect a loss of religious and Torah leadership. For example, when Hashem says he will remove Mash'in u'Mash'ina, the Mash'in are the Talmidei Chachamim of the Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah. The Mash'ina are the Talmidei Chachamim of the Mishnah. Kol Mish'an Lechem are the Talmidei Chachamim of the Gemara. V'chol Mish'an Mayim are the Talmidei Chachamim over the Agadah. The rest of the 14 curses include things like losing prophets and judges. Clearly, Torah leadership was taken away from them. But the Gemara says Yeshayahu's mind only calmed down when he said the words in our Pasuk, Yerhavu hana'ar bezakin, v'hanikla banichbad, that a young one will be disrespectful to his elders. One approach is that Yeshayahu was actually comforted through these words, because we need to remember that these elders are part of the corrupt generation who took advantage of the weak and the poor. So for the younger generation to stand up against the older generation suggests a disapproval of their beliefs and behaviors. The children will attempt to reorient morals and values for the next generation, something Yeshayahu finds quite positive. Another approach is found from a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Nehurai Omer, Dor Shaben David Ba, Bo Na'arim Yalbinu Pnei Zikinim, Vizikinim Yamzu Lifnei Na'arim. Rabbi Nehurai says, during the generation in which the son of David comes, Mashiach, adolescents will humiliate elders, and the elders will stand in deference before the young. Although these behaviors are far from what Yeshayahu wants from the Jewish people, the glimmer of hope is that these can be indications of the coming of Mashiach. A third approach is that this entire nevuah is about a huge loss of Torah leadership. And when the nevuah includes the words Yerhavu Hana'ar Bazakin, Yeshayahu is relieved to hear that the Jewish people will still be left with some zakinim, some wise people who might be able to lead them. Psukim Vav through Zion 6 and 7 show the desperation of the nation to find any semblance of leadership. The people will say to someone, "You have a garment, become our leader, and this chaos will be under your control." But the person will swear to them, saying, "I cannot help. My house has no bread or clothing. Do not make me a leader of these people." You can sense the people will take anyone they can get that has the resemblance of being a Talmud Chacham or leader. The right clothing that gives the right look will be enough. They just want someone to take care of the national mess. Impressively, the person admits to not being fit. The Gemara says what the person really is saying is, "Lo ehaya chovesh, lo hayiti mechovshei beit hamidrash. I cannot help because I am not someone who visited the Beis Medrash often. Ubebeiti ein lechem ve'ein simla. I have no bread or clothing, meaning she'in biyadi lo mikra v'lo mishnah v'lo gemara. I have no handle on the written Torah, mishnah, or gemara." This fits really beautifully with the Gemara we learned at the beginning of this parak about the 18 curses that compared bread and water to various areas of Torah scholarship that will be taken away from them. At this point of the parak, Yeshayahu sees how the curse has actualized, and there is no one they can find who feels they are knowledgeable in any of those areas of Torah. Pasuk Tet 9. Hakarat Pneim Antabam, Vachatatam Kistom Higidu Lo Chichedu, Oy Lenafsham. Kigamlu lahem ra'a. Their faces testified against them. They openly told of their sins like Sodom. They do not hold back. Woe to them that they have harmed themselves. Like Sodom, who were not ashamed to yell out their incredibly inappropriate and despicable plans and how they wanted to deal with Lot's guests, these people also have no shame to publicly do bad things. When there is no busha, no shame, there is little hope in fixing behaviors. But their evil actions will boomerang back to them. Yeshayahu even furthers his points. Imru, tzadik ki tov, ki pri ma'alalehem yochelu. Oy l'rashara, ki gemol yadav ye'aseb lo. Say, the righteous person is good. They will eat the fruits of their deeds. Woe to the evil person, because he will be repaid for everything he did. The view of the Rasha is that he is doing evil to others, but really he is also harming himself. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Charbam tavo belibam, their swords will pierce their own hearts. Despite this disappointing and sad nevuah about the future condition of Klal Yisrael, Hashem repeatedly calls them Ami, my nation. As we mentioned in Parak Aleph, it creates a sense of longing for Hashem, for his people. It reminds us that this rebuke, like all of them, are coming from a place of love and longing. After making it clear how detrimental the loss of leadership will be on the nation, Yeshayahu turns to the women in the final 14 psukim. In Pasuk Yudbet, Yeshayahu says about the leaders, "V'nashim mashlubo," suggesting these unqualified leaders of the generation were really ruled by women, leaders who were swayed by sensual desires. The end of the parak has incredible detail about how the women dressed and behaved, from their jewelry, makeup, hairstyles, clothing, perfumes, and actions, like the way they walked. They were used to signal the attention of men. The Torah believes in a woman looking and feeling beautiful, but these women tried to get the attention of other men despite having a family of their own. How far this is from the women in Mitzrayim, who Chazal called Nashim Tzidkaniyos, who were responsible for the ultimate redemption because they used their beauty for their husbands to continue the future of the Jewish people. The women in Egypt as well as women throughout Jewish history, like with the sin of the golden calf, were able to maintain their beliefs and morals despite others losing theirs. But here, the women too are falling prey to the pressures of immorality and sensuality. As Rev. Julius Hirsch states, gone was the most precious jewel of the Jewish people, its pure and upright family life. The prophecy sadly ends with a depiction of how women will change their beautiful garments to sackcloth, lose their beauty, and mourn alone over their husbands who died during the Chorban. But our Navi of Nechama has consoling words coming in our next parak. Thank you for studying together, Li'iloi Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat, Alexander Sender.